Hi, I'm Naomi. I'm 37 and a new mum. And when I was on the fence about becoming a parent, all I heard was the bond in your relationship is so much stronger with kids. Now I've got a baby though, it's sex life down the pan with a baby in your room. Wait till they can climb into your bed. Now, despite deciding to baby, there's still loads more to find out from both camps. So here's a podcast on the Secret Recordings Network, where I chat to baby wanters, baby rejecters, and everything in between to see why we decide to baby or not to baby. In this episode, I chat to Rob, who became a brand new dad in the height of full-blown lockdown.
All the people who say, oh, it's amazing, it's this natural, amazing thing, and you go, no, it isn't. You're in this hospital ward, there's screaming, and it's painful, and you're knackered because the water broke at like midnight, and you haven't actually been to bed. And then the baby came, and I had to go home for the first night. And I was walking out, and I was like, that was the best day of my life.
And I'm joined on this journey by my sister and best friend, Camilla. Que bola! Que bola to you, I think.
Oh, no, que bola to you.
So if you're like, what the heck is going on here? Was it last series you ran out of ways to say hello?
I mean, I've ran out after like the third episode, I think.
Yeah. But so we started taking requests for international hellos, and it's been a while since we've had one. But Zoe from Miami got in touch on Instagram to say, here's one for Camilla, que bola, which is Cuban for what's up or what's good.
Well, I'm so glad that Zoe hadn't forgotten me.
No, honestly, I loved it. So,
although has she just sent us like a swear word?
No, I did. No, it's okay. I checked that. Trust you, Zoe, in Miami, but I did check it because I was like, if she sent us something that's highly offensive, probably don't want to say it.
Yeah.
But also loving the fact that Zoe is listening in Miami.
Amazing.
And because she sent us the Cuban request, it just makes me think of the film Chef. And in my head that she's like living the high life in little Havana, going down to all the cool Cuban bars.
Nice.
So yeah, Zoe, if I ever come to Miami, you can take me to the Cuban bars. Now, can we talk about you a bit, Mill? Because you, at the minute, darling, you are very pregnant, but you are glowing.
I mean, is it Instagram filter because you're not really seeing me in person?
No, you send me enough selfies every day that I'm like,
Okay, can we just clarify? I don't send you loads of selfies every day.
Mwah, mwah, mwah. Here I am, bitches. No, you don't send me selfies every day, but you do regularly take photos of yourself and Chester. And we FaceTime every now and again. And honestly, you are looking exceptionally beaut.
Oh, that's really, really kind. I don't feel it. So for you to say that is very nice. Very nice. I feel enormous. It's got to that point where at night I can hardly move.
How are you feeling about the baby actually arriving?
It's really weird. I feel like similar to Chester, like I won't believe it, like it won't be real till it happens.
That's weird because you'd think with the second one that you would believe it more.
Yeah, I thought that. And obviously, and she's a right wriggler. You know, I could feel her in there all the time, but it just, until she's like earthside, I don't know. It's weird, really weird.
You've got the paddling pool set up now as well, haven't you?
The paddling pool. Yes. Yeah, we did a little test run with the birthing pool because hopefully you're going to have her at home. She stays in another week, then I can have her at home.
So basically, if it weren't for lockdown, we could be having a pool party at your place.
Yeah, because it's quite big as well. I was well chuffed with the size of it.
Can you put it in the garden?
I mean, I don't see why not, but I won't be.
Can you imagine having your baby in the middle of summer and thinking, do you know what, let's do it in the garden. All the neighbours hearing you mooing away trying to give birth.
Oh my God, literally, no. I'd have the whole park watching as well behind me.
Well, you are a bit of an attention seeker, so.
Oh, yeah, I know, I'm a drama queen. I keep thinking, how are my waters going to break this time? Because for those people that don't know, my waters broke last time at my friend's baby shower.
Well, not much longer to wait to find out.
I know.
Hello, this is Rob Howard. I am a radio presenter. I work for Capital FM, and me and my wife, Gemma Howard, do a podcast together called Lockdown Knocked Up because we got basically that in lockdown. We found out we were pregnant and a bit of a surprise. But, you know, at least it livened up lockdown. And we basically had our little daughter, little baby Bonnie Howard. She was born 2.5 weeks ago.
Which I am so grateful that you are talking to me in this early bit.
Any excuse to just just duck out for 20 minutes. Me and Gemma have got to this thing now where we just, obviously we do baby voices to the baby, but now it's just sort of transposed into me and Gemma will just be talking to each other now in the baby voice. So it'll be like, oh, did you remember to put the bins up? Yes, did you put the recycling down? Because Kim from that, yeah, I'll do it. So it's quite nice to just speak to someone in a normal in a normal adult voice.
Oh, I feel like I've got to the point where I do a lot of things in song form now. So Eleni is very into anything that's kind of musical. So I'll just sing whatever I'm doing becomes a song. So you'll get to that good stuff soon.
Oh, I can't wait for that. Me and Gemma are quite competitive musically as well. So I imagine we'll be sort of looking who can get the most sort of complex rhyming structure into our nappy changing songs.
Yeah, I was going to say your songs, I feel like, are going to be much better than my songs are currently. I need to take inspo. Before you talk to me about what's going on now, rewind. So you and Gemma, did you have the chat of we want to have kids before you got married? How did that go?
Well, we kind of look back now and we think it's quite nice because the baby sort of forced our hand a little bit because it was one of those where we were like, oh, you know, it's definitely we want to do it at some point, but it always felt a little bit like, oh, well, maybe we'll do it next year. Oh, well, maybe we'll do it year after that. And I think as well, because radio works in such a way, it's such a wonderfully secure industry to work in, that you obviously have, like a lot of the time, you have like 18-month, one-year contracts and stuff like that. So you never kind of really feel like you know where you're going to be to settle down and go, okay, well, we'll buy a house here, you know, in theory, if we could afford a house, and we'll map out like a 3 to 5 year plan. So we always kind of worked on like rolling 12 month contracts, a bit like our employers did with us, but with the prospect of a baby. So I think very much actually at the start of this year, we kind of thought, oh, maybe next year, maybe we'll have a few, you know, we'll try and get a house this year, or we'll do a couple more holidays or something like that. And maybe next year is the one, which was the sort of annual chat we'd always have.
Was it one of those kind of casual, let's just see how nature takes its course, or was it a total accident?
Oh, I was worried what you were going to ask me about how quickly. Very quick. It was because she was on the old implant form of contraception. And then, so that then came out. And so there's this kind of sort of brief period where it sort of still lasts for a little bit. It's because apparently it messes your hormones up or something like that. So it was like, oh, Gemma just wanted to like level her hormones out. So, which in hindsight, saying that out loud now sounds very reckless. Like, but I think we thought we'd just be covered by the afterglow.
The residual hormones, yeah.
Yeah, but no, it didn't work out like that. So that's kind of the other thing where it was a bit of a surprise. But then we do also feel very lucky because like some of our friends have been doing the whole this is the year and then it doesn't quite happen. As much as it was a shock, it was kind of nice in a way that we kind of felt we almost used a bit of a cheat code and sort of jumped ahead.
Me and Dan were exactly the same. So I would say we didn't even start trying. We just stopped trying to not be pregnant.
Okay.
And in our plan, it was very much going to be down the line. We were going to squeeze in those extra holidays. I was amazed and thrilled that we didn't have to go through all that, but equally like, holy shit, didn't really plan for it to happen this quickly. So that holiday that we've booked isn't going to be a holiday where we can drink all the Italian wine because I'm going to be preggers.
Well, speaking of holidays, we had a similar thing actually where I think at the point we found out Gemma was pregnant, back in the days of lockdown one where everyone sort of thought, well, we might still have holidays. We might still be a thing.
Yeah.
And so we were booked in to go to like Miami. And so that was going to be a big like 10 days, pool parties, all that sort of thing. So we were kind of like, oh, well, that looks like there's very much a new dynamic if we do end up going to it.
Oh, my God. But I think that would have been even more brutal for Gemma to have to go there pregnant.
Yeah. Well, the drinking thing is very interesting because obviously, it was worse for Gemma because I could still go for like after work drinks or whatever and stuff like that. Mm. But then
you kind of say like on a holiday,
you kind of go, well, say we had gone that holiday. If Gemma hadn't drunk, I probably wouldn't have drunk either, just by virtue of the fact it was tough enough for Gemma with all the morning sickness and all that sort of stuff. So I think the last thing she would have needed would be me getting progressively drunker next to her and then sort of forgetting I've already told her the same anecdotes and repeating myself and just finding myself more funny and being very obnoxious. So actually, yeah, in terms of then generally, I kind of sort of cut out drinking quite a lot as well. So yeah,
did
I don't
you?
Know. I think that may have happened on the holiday as well.
Oh, you're a good one, Rob, because Dan really did not do that. Like, I think, I don't know if it was a lockdown related thing. He definitely drank more than normal. It was like he was trying to make up for my lack of drinking.
Yeah, he's drinking for two.
That's what he kept saying.
I think that makes me sound like it was a very noble thing to do, but it was literally the fact that if I did drink, I just wouldn't have had a particularly great time. So I think it was, again, quite selfishly motivated. But one of Gemma's friends did quite a funny thing where he went down the whole like sort of white knight sort of route. Just absolutely wouldn't do anything, almost sort of stopped going to the gym and stuff like that because she couldn't do it. So they wanted to be in it together, like really went above and beyond to sort of be like, no, we're in this together. Anything you can't do, I can't do. And then there was just one thing where they went to like a park or something like that when you were allowed. I think it was in the summer bit where it was like Eat Out to Help Out or something. And yeah, we went along and we actually met up with them. And it was like he had his first sip of beer in about 6 months. And then there was another friend there who's got a bad influence. And it basically then sort of scene cut to her going home early, him deciding to stay out, locking himself out the flat and turning up at 5 a.m. And she just opened the door and he was just stood there and he's like really disheveled, beer down his front, like he'd spilt his kebab everywhere. And he just looked at her and just went, I'm so sorry. And she just went, walked in and was like, the spare room's made up.
Oh, dear. Did the honourable thing and then messed it all up in
one
fell swoop.
That's it.
Because you did all of this through lockdown, in terms of the COVID restrictions and stuff like that, were you able to go to any of the hospital appointments and those kind of things, or were you completely out? Because Dan was completely out of ours.
Yeah, completely out of it. So I couldn't go to any of the scans or anything like that. So yeah, so that was obviously a bit rubbish. However, we were very lucky in that it just so happened there was like a, down the road from us, there's like one of those private baby scanning things.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, we literally got ours off Groupon as well. So it was about like £40 and I could go to those. So we went and that's how we did, like found out the gender and stuff like that. So I was quite lucky in a way we had one so locally because it meant I could, you know, we could still do all those nice moments. And then for the actual like checkup-y ones, like all the blood readings and that kind of thing, I couldn't go to that, you know, the kind of nicer moments I was still able to. So we were quite lucky.
Had you always wanted kids?
Well, it's one of those, it's kind of like on the old set menu of life, isn't it? Where it's like university, at some point get a house, get married, have a kid. And so I think I always assumed I'd kind of do that. But then there were times genuinely where some of my friends had them a bit earlier and you see the responsibility and that kind of thing. And I'd be sat there thinking, oh, I've got 2 weeks in Las Vegas booked this year. Like, that'd be really good. And I can't wait for that. And that's really, really fun. And I did have a bit of a period where I thought, I don't know, do you know what? I'd have a really nice life. It's such a big change. And then, it's, as you say, it's one of those where, you know, if the baby comes, you can't then go, oh, not for me, I'll hand her back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a little period where I kind of thought, I don't know, is this the right? Maybe I'm just one of those people who it's just not for. So I did have a bit of doubt, but then I think I just eventually sort of at some point, I can't remember specifically thinking, no, actually I do. I think it maybe just sort of slowly warmed me back over.
Where was Gemma at on that? Was she the same as you?
Yeah, Gemma was exactly the same. So she was always, I think we kind of wanted it. And then it was just that thing of like, oh, next year kind of thing. And then also, I suppose as well, it's, as you'll know, it's so much trickier for the lady because of stuff like you then kind of have the thing on top of it of career. So you're taking a year out of your career, whereas the bloke, you know, you get a couple of weeks off or whatever it is, but then you just dive straight back in. Whereas for her, I think it's obviously then a big thing in your head. I've got to take a year out, and radio kind of being the way it is as well, you know, you can get forgotten in a year and all of that sort of thing. So I think that wasn't necessarily a reason for, oh, I don't want them. That was just another reason of, oh, well, when we do have one, that's another thing to potentially worry about.
Totally. Producer Paul, who is the producer of this podcast and who you will know well, Rob, because he works on your podcast as well. Producer Paul kindly said to me when I told him that I was with child, well, that's your radio career over then. And like, he was a little bit joking, but he was mainly not joking. Yeah. Well, it's kind of true.
Oh, definitely. And it's particularly with, you know, it's the old radio formula as well, isn't it? If you're doing a morning show and it's bloke and lady, it does seem quite harsh where it's, I don't know how I'd be able to do it, where you then, if you're the lady in it, you go away on maternity leave. And often they sort of bring in like a part-time placement and you're just kind of thinking, oh no, what if she does better than me, or
they're better than me. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I don't know. I think if that were me in that position, I'd be thinking, you know, I'd be saying to them, oh, well, you know, good luck, blah, blah, blah. I'd be thinking like, I hope you die on your ass. I hope it goes horribly for you. I hope you drop the C-bomb in the first episode and then, you know, you're never welcome back.
If you're enjoying listening to Rob, you should absolutely check out his podcast with his very funny wife, Gemma. It's called Locked Down, Knocked Up, and it sounds a bit like this.
When Gemma went into labour, I did manage to record some of the noises.
I actually want to hear what that sounds like.
You sound like a sort of turned on goat.
Check them out wherever you get your podcasts from. Normally, just search Locked Down, Knocked Up. Now, I saw Gemma had posted something on Instagram about like 3.5 weeks to go, blah, blah, blah. And I commented on it and I was like, whoa, don't you be getting too comfortable with this thing, because Eleni, my baby, was born 3 weeks and a day early. And so be prepared, could happen at any point in time. Not thinking that that might happen to you guys. And then what happened to you guys?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks early. We were so unprepared for it as well, because literally all of Gemma's friends as well, a lot of them have kind of had babies like in the last couple of years. All the babies are on the due date, literally every single one, even to the point of that thing of people say, if anything, you're a week late, but all of them were on the due date and it was 20th of February. So we were literally planning to that as if it was gospel, to the point of I was actually on the Capital Breakfast show that week and the due date was on the Friday. So we were already in advance, me and the producer and Lauren, who I do the show with, were coming up with ideas of like content ideas based around what was babies due on the Friday. So we just had it in our heads as if this was like gospel. And then, yeah, we just went to bed one night. It was about midnight. We stayed up and watched a film or something, just went to bed one night. And then Gemma was just like, oh, something's happening. And then just all of a sudden out of nowhere, it just came and we were just not at all ready. I don't know why we were so laissez-faire about it, to the point of that bit when you get sent home after you go in and they go, oh yeah, your waters are broken, but you need to dilate a bit more, so go back home. In that bit, I was suddenly like, oh, I haven't built the crib. So at 3 a.m, it's like a flat pack crib. So we got back and I started building that because I was like, obviously the baby's on its way and it's got nowhere to sleep at the moment. That's how like unprepared we were.
So in terms of like Gemma's labour, what did happen? Like, what was the sitch?
So there was a bit at the start where we thought we were going to have a dream labour, where we got sent home and then we were sort of just waiting. And they sort of said, well, go to bed for a bit. And Gemma was just literally howling. And I was like, I don't think that'll go down well if I just go pop next door and get my head down for 2 hours when she's on her hands and knees. So we then went in and they were like, oh, you've done really, really well. You've got up to like 9.5 centimeters dilated at home. So wow. They were like, oh, that's amazing. They were saying maybe an hour. So we thought we'd kind of be home for lunch at this point because it was about, I don't know, 8, 9 a.m. So like, that was great. And then little Bonnie just got that, Gemma got fully dilated, but I think she was slightly the wrong way round, not like legs first, but facing the wrong way.
Okay.
So it meant she couldn't quite get past this little bit. So then poor Gemma just then had hours of just them just going push. And we'd had that thing where Gemma had, she was a bit too dilated for the pain relief. So she was just on gas and air.
Jesus.
Yeah, so she was just obviously in a lot of pain. But then the one bit I'd sort of think I can say, because obviously it's so much worse for her. I was just sat next to her, like eating Haribo in a seat next to her, sort of slowly, just gently rubbing her head.
Doing a good job over there. Well done. You keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Top work. Keep it up. Great stuff. But then there's a bit where you're kind of caught in the crossfire where she's going, look, this isn't going to happen. I want like an epidural or something. And then the midwives are going, no, we shouldn't really do that. You're so close, blah, blah, blah. And everyone kind of turns to you for the answer. And you're like, well, I have absolutely no idea. I don't know. I'm completely unqualified. In my honest medical opinion, like, I've no idea. So my default thing was trust the midwives, which actually in hindsight was the wrong decision. Because then nothing happens. Then we ended up going upstairs and ended up in emergency C-section.
Did Gemma have the thing where the baby almost comes down and then goes back up again?
Yeah. So because when Gemma was pushing, so I stayed away from the business end of things, but I was in a sort of, so I was watching them watch it. Which is sort of like a
Gogglebox.
It's exactly like that. It's like a pregnancy version of Soccer Saturday. It's like the midwife was Jeff Stelling. So apparently when Gemma was pushing, you could see the baby or they could like feel it was basically coming closer. And then when she stopped, it was kind of getting sucked back up again, which sounds very frustrating for Gemma. But so that just went on for ages.
Honestly, I was amazed that was a thing. Like, I don't think anyone had told me that was a thing, that when you're in labor, you can push and push and push and push and the baby's almost coming out. And then it's like, whoop, nope, reverse. And then you've got to go again and again, like to get it all the way down because they have to go around that bendy bit. Oh, God.
That was the bit that the baby just couldn't quite get past, apparently.
So you end up going for emergency C-section. How did you find it? Because I had to have the emergency C-section, but I feel like it's almost different when you're in it, whereas you're, like you say, on the front row.
Yeah. From my end, it was just horrible. I hated it. I hated every second of it because it was like, because you're just so powerless. You just stood there and you just kind of fingers crossed. Also, you know, obviously they have the little barrier and stuff up, but I just felt, you know, that's kind of like the woman you loved and you know she's just getting cut open basically. And that's the thing I think I underestimated as well, is that because people go, oh, I had a C-section, it just feels really normalized. So it just seems like, oh, it's just a normal kind of legitimate thing to do. In the same way, do you know when people are like, oh, I just had the flu or whatever,
and you kind of go, oh, I just had the flu.
And then you have the flu and you feel it's really horrible, but because it's so normalized you underestimate it. It was a bit like that. So you kind of just go, oh, C-section. They go, oh, we're going for C-section. You go, oh, okay, that's fine. And then you sort of forget. Then you suddenly think, hang on, this is, you know, very intrusive abdominal surgery. And it sort of hit me a little bit. And I hated it. I absolutely hated it. I was so worried. And then obviously Bonnie came out and then, but you know, she needed a bit of warming up. So you then have I remember there was a horrible bit where, without, you know, getting too serious, but the midwife said, oh, give me your phone and I'll take photos when Bonnie comes out. And I was like, yeah, okay. And so Bonnie came out and I went to give her my phone and she just went, oh, just wait a minute. And so you're like, oh no, like,
yeah,
that's not a good reaction. So then the baby was getting warmed up, but then obviously Gemma then started falling asleep because of, you know, the surgery. And just because you lose blood, she was obviously getting a bit whiter. So then I was worried something was going wrong with her. But this is the thing where the baby comes out, then you see the baby, and it is literally like a Jedi mind trick where you then kind of weirdly sort of forget all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But, and Gemma was saying exactly the same thing where you kind of go, I remember at one point during the birth, I was like, this is hideous. Like all the people who say, oh, it's amazing. It's this natural, amazing thing. And you go, no, it isn't. You're in this hospital ward, you know, there's screaming and it's painful and it's, you're knackered because the water broke at like 11, like midnight and you haven't actually been to bed. And, you know, this is not beautiful. And then something must happen. It must be a hormone thing. Where then, so during the day, I was thinking, this is awful. And then the baby came and I had to go home for the first night. And I was walking out and I was like, that was the best day of my life. And I was like, how? It was only like the Uber home. I was like, that is a hell of a 180. Like, how have we gone from that to thinking I'm going to be haunted in my dreams by it to thinking this is the greatest day of my life. I wish I'd bought a videographer so I could remember every minute of it.
Okay, so it's one thing that children's toys that speak have quite irritating voices, but it's another when they are interrupting you for starters, but also grammatically incorrect.
Giraffe has long necks.
What the heck are you teaching my child?
On a serious note, was Gemma okay? Like, if you were saying that she kind of whited out and was losing blood and was not very particularly with it at the moment of Bonnie's arrival.
Yeah, I think she lost a bit of blood, but it was a normal amount of blood. The colour had gone a little bit from her face. And then I think just from exhaustion, she was kind of a bit tired. And then also, obviously, the drugs as well. I'll tell you what, I'd forgotten about this. This was another point of the delivery. So we have all that going on, and then so this was on the bit where we're like, oh, it seems okay. But then in the ward, they were like panicking a little bit. And so I was like, oh no. And they were kind of like looking for something. And I was like, oh, what's going on? And then basically what had happened was they had misplaced a paper towel.
What?
And so apparently this is like a really bad thing because there was an odd chance they could have sewn it into Gemma.
Which
I shouldn't laugh because it is like horrifically dangerous because obviously it's like septic and stuff or it can cause infection. But it just seems like I think that literally happens in the Mr. Bean film. I think an M&M or something falls in a patient and gets sewn in. And I just couldn't stop thinking about that. And then they found the paper towel and it was like under something and it was absolutely fine. But that, yeah, there was that bit. And I just wanted to be like, come on, lads, this is, you know, we're not putting up an IKEA flat pack shelf here and you've lost the Allen key. Go on, get your heads in the game.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God, thank God they found it.
But apparently it does happen. I Googled it afterwards. I mean, this isn't necessarily a pregnancy thing, but in some surgery, you get like x-rays where they've accidentally sewn scissors or something like that. They've left in the patient. And then on the x-ray, you can see scissors in in the person's leg
that
or something like
nuts.
That.
I know that Dan was really weirded out because when they were stitching me back up, he could hear them having a conversation about putting my intestines back in the right place. And they were like, oh, yeah, have you got your intestines in? Yeah, they're in the right. Yeah, you got intestines in the right place. Yeah, that's all sorted out. And you're just like, what?
That's what Gemma said. She said she felt like she was like, you know, a Ford Fiesta that was just they doing an MOT on. And they're just running through the 50-point check or something like that, but with organs, as you say. Because then the next thing was, this was another COVID issue, was Gemma had to stay in afterwards for a couple of days just to do checks and all that sort of stuff, but I wasn't allowed in for that.
I'm amazed that you weren't allowed in at all, because when we had the baby, Dan was allowed in, but for visiting hours. But the visiting hours were 11 till 7. So compared to nothing, that's still pretty substantial. So I can't even imagine how you must have felt having to go home and just leave them there.
Oh, so it was horrible. So it was, it wasn't great. And then I just felt so bad for Gemma because she had the double whammy of first baby. So you don't know what you're doing, but you know, you're kind of getting used to things. It's all a bit overwhelming. But then on top of that, she'd had massively invasive surgery as well. Mm. So yeah, she was just on her own, sort of both recovering from surgery and then trying to look after this newborn baby. I have no idea how she did it.
So then how did it feel when you were finally able to go in and pick them up and see them and give them a big hug and bring them home?
Oh, it was so good. Someone had said, oh, make them freeze some food for when they get home. That's something you can do. So I was actually halfway through a chili.
Well done, Rob.
It was literally cooking away on the hob. And I got a message from Gemma saying, you can come and pick me up. So I was like, oh my God, this is great. This is great. And then I was also a bit like, what am I going to do with the chili? Which, you know, sadly didn't make it. We had to bin it. So you go there with the car seat and then you can't go into the ward or anything. So the baby comes through to the ward with Gemma. And yeah, you just put the baby in the seat. Gemma wanted to get the dad walking with the car seat picture for Instagram, which
always.
I was very impressed that she was still social media savvy in spite of all the stress of it all. But yeah, it was such a lovely moment. I was so relieved to finally have them home. And then there was quite a funny bit actually where I was like, what do you need me to bring? And Gemma said, okay, well, can you bring X, Y, and Z with you? So I was like, yep, no problem. And one of the things was she'd somehow, because she'd been moved around a few different beds, she'd lost, like her trainers had been misplaced. So she was like, can you bring me trainers? And my one job, I forgot to do it. So then I got there and we're like, this is great. And I was like, sorry, I've forgotten your trainers. So she had to, after everything she'd been through, she then had to walk barefoot. I can't feel terrible saying this, across the car park to the car. So it was like one final trauma for her. And bear in mind, this was a couple of weeks ago when it was snowing as well. It was literally snowing.
You can't even fireman's lift her either after the surgery.
No, there's nothing. There's the sort of thought there might be a sort of nice romantic officer and a gentleman kind of moment. But no, it was just a poor woman hobbling across an NCP car park in bare feet.
What has surprised you most about parenthood?
I am surprised how fun it is. Because I think people's default reaction is, oh, you're not going to sleep, or, oh, get used to cleaning up filth, or, oh. And so I honestly, it got to the point where in my head, I was like, right, it's first 3 months, let's just get through it, like head down. Mm-hmm. And then it's just been lovely. Like, obviously, you don't sleep very much and you have to do all the cleanups, but you kind of, no one sort of tells you the lovely moments of, you know, that first time they kind of do a bit of a half smile, which is probably wind, but you're like, oh my God, they're smiling. And I don't know if it's a British thing or maybe it's a bloke thing, because I think it'd probably go down quite weird in my male WhatsApp group with my mates if one of them went like, in all serious though, it's an absolutely magical moment and it'll be incredible. Like, everyone would just pile in on them. But yeah, it's been a lot more fun than I thought it'd be.
Can you believe he forgot the shoes?
Oh my God, poor her as well. Like, as if you're not in enough pain and then you've got to walk on ice, essentially, to your car.
Yeah, in the sexy no-skid hospital socks.
Oh God, yeah.
So, I mean, at least she wasn't like totally barefoot.
Oh,
she had the sexy red hospital socks on.
I'd have been so scared of falling over, though.
Yeah. I had a really good laugh chatting to Rob, but it did make me a bit sad at the end where he was like, men can't really say to each other how lovely it is. And I was like, that is really true. The other day, Dan was on a Zoom call with a load of his lad friends.
Lads.
One of the guys is expecting his first baby. And all of the blokes were saying, like the ones who have all got kids were like, oh yeah, oh, you better, you know, get your sleep in now while you can, because you're not going to be getting any rest. And they were talking about now the potential dates for lockdown easing have been out, and so they were talking about getting together for a few beers and being like, oh mate, you won't be able to come because you're gonna have a newborn baby, you'll have no life then, and like giving him, and I at the time said to Dan, I was like, Dan, stop saying those things to him, because there's loads of great things about it. But I was like, I've never really thought about the fact that they can't say to each other, wow, this is magical and wonderful.
I feel like a couple of my friends' other halves would probably touch on the emotion and the good and like the really good stuff, but yeah, I don't know if any of them have really opened up about how wonderful they found it.
Do you think Ed would say to his friends that he finds it wonderful?
To an extent, but I don't think he would be completely honest.
Yeah,
and he'd probably make a joke afterwards. Do you know? You know, like you do.
Yeah, I think Dan would be the same. Although,
when Dan and Ed are together, they do this together anyway, don't they? The lads thing comes out a bit.
When they're together, it's so annoying.
They are really annoying together.
All they do is give us shit the whole time, and it's like, mate, you love me and you're nice to me normally. Why are you being this weird?
Also, these two boys, right? For those of you listening at home, they're totally whipped. Right. So when they pretend to be all lad, lad, lad when they're together, I'm like, are you effing joking me? You wait till we get home.
Babes, do you think they're overcompensating?
Yeah. Oh, no, they're not totally whipped, but maybe like semi-whipped.
Yeah. They're like 75% whipped.
Absolutely.
Follow my journey and tell us about your own on social media. We are at To Baby or Not. If you rate and review this podcast, not only will it hugely help us out, please don't forget to do it, but it'll mean that your set menu of life will be all you dreamed of and more.
Next time on To Baby or Not To Baby.
I ended up being admitted into a general acute psychiatric ward, and I can remember saying to the nurse, please don't let me out of here, because I'm worried what I'm going to do if I get out of here.